All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Still kind of a little sick.
A little bit. Yeah, for sure.
But coming off of that.
Definitely. I think it's just like, you know, early summer.
Yeah, a huge weather change this week.
It's also my shock to the system.
My past month, every single weekend, I have either been out of town or working.
Probably just exhaustion, really.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. That's usually what it is when I get sick, is I'm just very tired. Because, like, I was out of town the last 3 weekends, and then this weekend, we made a film.
We did make a film. It was so fun. I'm sure at some point we'll post it on.
Yeah, we can't post it until after
the awards
are given
but
out.
But after that's done, I think we can circulate however we want, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll probably show you guys if you want to see that.
Yeah, I think it was pretty fun.
I thought it was pretty fun. It was like a 3-minute film. It was great.
Yep. And so we'll probably post that, but that's what we did this weekend, which was really, really fun, but also
a lot of work.
I'm so tired.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm so tired. So today has been nice to just like.
I know. We're recording a lot later than we usually do because I was just like, I just slept until noon.
Me too. Like, I slept till like 11.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just not getting out of bed.
Nope. I was so tired. I'm still so tired.
Yeah,
I've been watching TV all day and like just doing nothing.
Me too.
I haven't even left the house.
Cole and I started Loki.
Oh, yeah.
It's not bad. We've been watching all of the.
Nothing Marvel makes is bad.
It's like it's all really visually stunning.
Yeah.
Like it's all just so beautiful because they have so much fucking money.
Yeah. If you cannot make something bad with like that many resources.
Exactly. And the actors are good. Obviously, they pick good actors. And I love Owen Wilson even more after that horrific review that we read about him. I just want to protect him from the world after that review.
I know. Every time you're like, that's too harsh to a celebrity. You're like, now I love them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how dare you?
That is too harsh. When people are like mean to Jonah Hill.
I know.
For being overweight, you're like, how dare you?
How dare you, sir? I don't know Jonah Hill at all.
But
I never wanted to defend Jonah Hill.
But it is not okay to come after him for his weight. And it's not okay to come after Owen Wilson because he tried to kill himself.
That's so sad.
That's so upsetting. Someone was like, well, I bet he tried to kill himself because the Night of the Museum was so bad. And it's like, fuck you.
Like, he definitely didn't.
He definitely did not.
I mean, sure, that's not the reason.
Nope.
But we're doing a two-parter, sort of.
Yeah. So we're doing a little bit of dipping our toe back into the horror game. Although, we'll talk about this, about how I kind of categorize these films. They're very interesting. They're kind of an enigma, I think, a little bit.
Like?
They're thrillers, they're suspense, they're
kind of
horror, but they're also monster movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and post-apocalyptic.
Horror is a genre,
it's true.
And then there's tiny sub-genres within the genre.
True.
So, like, you can have thriller horror. This is clearly a horror movie. Like, the way I separate thrillers and horrors is by their intent.
Yeah.
So, like, this movie is meant to scare you.
Yeah.
And
I wasn't very scared, though.
No, it doesn't maybe do, like, I mean, it's meant to, like, scare you or be, I should say, I'll say, like, be disturbing.
Yeah.
Because, like, some of my favorite horror movies in the world are not jump scary.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Most horror movies I like do not have jump scares.
Definitely.
And they don't scare you. But they are disturbing.
Yeah.
In a different way than, like, a cop thriller is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A cop thriller is obviously not meant to disturb you. It's meant to, like, keep you interested.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really all a thriller is. It's, like, a compelling story, like something meant to compel you and keep you on edge, which I think there's a lot of debate on what's horror and what's thriller, but I think it all comes down to like intent.
For sure.
I think this is a horror.
Yeah. It's a suspense post-apocalyptic horror. That's a very important post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, it is.
So it stars John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, and it's directed and co-written by John Krasinski.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's Jim from The Office.
He wrote this for Emily Blunt, who is his wife.
Like, I know it's sweet, but, like, can you imagine, like, just starting to read it and you're being like, huh.
You're like,
so this is for me?
Why?
Why, though?
You could have written a romance.
I know. It's like, I wrote you this post-apocalyptic horror film.
It's my love story.
It's my love story to you.
You're like,
I mean, that's kind of sweet, but also I'd be kind of like,
listen,
okay.
If you're going to break into the filmmaking industry,
this is the easiest way.
Horror is the easiest way.
And, yeah.
People's bar for horror
is so low. And I didn't love this movie, so I think this movie is an example of how low the bar is.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and say the budget.
Okay, so this is so insane. So the budget is 17 to 21 million, and the box office was $341 million.
This made a ton of money.
Oh,
this
my God.
I think people have forgotten how popular this movie was when it came out.
And I just think it's so interesting. So I am very hard of hearing, and so I have a lot of trouble watching things without subtitles. So that's something I really appreciated about the first film, is that it's almost entirely in subtitles and also ASL, which I can understand a little bit of.
Don't talk about the second one.
I'm not going to talk about the second one right now.
That's a separate episode.
But that's what I really enjoy about this film. And I think it's interesting that people are like okay with subtitles in films when it serves them, mm-hmm. but not okay when it serves like a minority or whatever. In America, I mean, in other countries, it's very common for subtitles to be in all films.
Yeah, I think that's more generally for people who don't speak the native language. Yeah. It's like a catering to English speakers.
Yeah.
So it's still not catering to people who are hard of hearing.
True, true.
It's a different catering. But, I mean, it's who cares, right?
Yeah.
However I
get the subtitles, I'm happy
to have them. I do think that that was a big draw for this movie.
Yeah.
Is people being like, oh, it's... I mean, I just think in the same way that, like, Midsommar is, like, famous for being the horror movie that's completely set in the light.
Light in the light, yeah. This is
famous for being a horror movie that's almost completely set in silence.
Yeah.
That, like, there's hardly any music in this.
Yeah.
There's hardly any talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much all subtitled. All of the noise that happens pretty much is, like, towards the end.
Yeah.
And, or, like, surrounding noise, like, yeah. real noise.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is interesting. It was, I don't know if any horror movies have done this since then. I mean, it's not like a concept I think you can ride forever.
Yeah, for sure. And this is 2018, so it's not like this is like an old movie.
No, I think that this is just a new concept for a film that people were excited about.
Yeah.
Not that silent films haven't existed. I don't know. But, like modern silent film.
Yeah, for sure. And I just think it's really interesting. I really like when films like Sound of Metal do really good job sound editing whenever you're dealing with deaf characters, mm-hmm. which I think this movie does really well in communicating that silence.
And the main character. Not the main character, because that's like John Krasinski.
Yeah, but the main girl.
Their oldest daughter is deaf. And she's deaf in real life.
Yeah, the actress is deaf. So let's go into the plot. So after a year, most of Earth's population has been annihilated by blind creatures with hypersensitive hearing that attack anything making noise. The alien creatures are covered in armor-like skin that is impervious to bullets and explosives.
But we don't know that.
We don't really know that at first.
We don't see...
We understand pretty much that they can't make noise.
We know that there are, like, creatures...
And that they are sensitive to noise and they can detect you if you make sound.
But we don't see the creatures.
We see, like, a flash of it
coming
up really quick. So the Abbott family, wife Evelyn, husband Lee, deaf teenage daughter Reagan, and younger sons Marcus and Beau, silently scavenge for supplies in a deserted town. Going barefoot while outdoors, the family communicates in American Sign Language. Inside a store, 4-year-old Beau is drawn to a battery-powered space shuttle toy, but Lee takes it away due to the noise it would make. Reagan returns the toy to Beau, who also takes the batteries that his father removed it from. Classic idiot kid move.
Literally... Why are they not watching this?
Why are they not watching
this? He's 4! Yeah, he's gonna make some bad calls.
Bo activates the toy when the family is crossing a bridge, alerting a nearby creature that kills him.
Yeah.
And we see a little flash of that. And it's sad. So over a year later, Reagan struggles with guilt over her brother's death.
As you would. When you gave him the thing.
Yeah. Evelyn enters the final stages of pregnancy, and Lee fruitlessly tries to make radio contact with the outside world. He's like an engineer.
Yeah, he is... He is just overall very handy.
Yes.
He's good at construction. Mm-hmm. He's very smart. He fiddles with electronics a lot. He, I think, kind of has had to take on some of those things partially because of, like, he's had to keep up a lot of things that aren't being maintained by the outside world any longer. Like, his daughter's hearing aid.
Yeah, for sure.
Really important. Obviously, they're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
Having to figure...
Yeah, there's this really cool, the way they, like, figure out how to have the baby safely and quietly is really interesting. really, really interesting.
A lot of necessity is the mother of invention here.
For sure.
This was a very well-equipped family to handle this
Definitely.
Particular type of problem.
Because they already spoke ASL.
Yeah, they already didn't have to speak.
Yeah, so they could always communicate via ASL.
And it seems like he did have some kind of previous background in construction.
Yeah.
Which made him particularly equipped to, like...
They are well-equipped for the situation.
Deck out their home.
So Lee attempts to upgrade Reagan's cochlear implants with scavenged miniature amplifiers to restore her hearing, but the devices are ineffective. Later, Lee takes Marcus to a nearby river with a large waterfall to teach him to fish while Reagan sneaks off to visit Beau's memorial.
Also, I just want to say, how smart must her dad be? Okay, it's like, oh, well, people in real life couldn't update these to the point that you could restore your hearing
because so she why
was born deaf.
Yeah.
But I probably
I can do it.
I can probably figure it out. I didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
Drat. It's like, yeah. Who
no
was
surprise.
Expecting you to get it? Were you expecting to get it? I solved deafness. I solved it.
I solved it in a post-apocalyptic monster invasion.
2 years after the monsters invaded the Earth. It's not even like 100 years later. It's like 2 years.
It only took me 2 years.
It's like, what? Where were you?
Where were you this entire time before?
Yeah, what about all the other people?
Yeah.
That wasn't, you were like, no, before I just went to work on a construction site, but now I found my purpose. Okay, kid.
So yeah, and he like goes, his son is really scared of the monsters, like really, really terrified of them, as you would be.
I would be.
I would be terrified. Anyway, so he takes him like to a waterfall and is like, you can scream here because they can't hear you because of all the water, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a nice moment. And she is sad about Beau dying. So, Lee tells Marcus it is safe to talk when louder background noises mask their voices from the creatures. Marcus says that Reagan blames herself for Beau's death and needs her father to tell her that he still loves her. Yeah, Reagan's, like, been really sad about this and obviously feels like it's her fault and that her dad resents her for it.
And it is kind of her fault.
It is kind of her fault. I don't think her dad resents her for it.
I don't think anyone resents her for it. He's 4. And also, why was he walking in the back of the line?
That's another question. He should be in the middle.
What? Obviously.
Obviously.
Obviously. Everyone knows the order for these types of things.
Yeah.
And the 4-year-old isn't the caboose.
It's not the caboose. So alone at the house, Evelyn goes into labor. While making her way to the basement, she accidentally steps on an exposed nail with her bare foot. Eee, so scary. And drops a glass picture frame alerting a nearby creature.
This is probably, to me, one of the scariest.
Oh my god, the whole birth scene is terrible.
The whole birth scene is so scary. The nail?
Ah!
I remember
And she like
that.
Has to like tear her foot off of
that
it.
That is like something I've never forgotten from that movie. That's an image
yeah,
stays with
they
me.
Show it
Pregnant
too.
Pregnant ass lady stepping on a nail, trying not to scream.
Yeah, it's...
And then having to hobble her ass down to her labor chamber.
Yes. Evelyn flips a switch that changes the exterior house lights to red as a signal to the others and struggles to remain silent during her contractions. Arriving at the farm and seeing the lights, Lee instructs Marcus to set off fireworks as a diversion. So smart.
Yeah, Lee is really smart.
Yeah, really smart.
It's really a shame what happens to him.
I know. Lee finds Evelyn hiding in the bathroom with their newborn son. They make their way to the improvised, soundproofed basement. They, like, put, like, tons of newspaper over it to, like, dampen
yeah,
the sound.
And
it,
pillows
yeah.
and junk.
It's really cool. Lee leaves to find the other children, and Evelyn falls asleep but awakens to discover the basement is flooded from a broken water pipe and that a creature is inside with her. Yeah, I love the scene when she's like, where are they? And he's like, I'll get them back.
I just like whenever you're asleep and then you wake up and you're like, what? A water pipe? So you didn't know?
You didn't know.
How did you sleep through that, babe?
Yeah, that's so true. I wouldn't be able to sleep through that.
You live in a...
I mean, she did just go through labor, I guess.
You live in a practically silent world, though.
That's
you'd
so true.
You think something like that, you'd be on alert.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I, like, wake up if my cats meow a weird way.
That's so true. Reagan and Marcus take refuge atop a grain silo and light a fire to signal their father. However, they run out of lighter fluid and the fire dies before attracting Lee's attention. A hatch door suddenly gives way and Marcus falls into the silo. The following door distracts the creature that was stalking Evelyn and instead targets Marcus and Reagan.
Which is dumb on the creature's part because
yeah.
they're way far away.
Yeah.
And Evelyn's like
obviously
really close.
They're not really that smart.
No, which begs the question, how are we 2 years into this?
I know. They're obviously not very smart. Also, never mind. I'm not going to talk about that because it's in the second movie. But we'll talk about that next week. So Reagan, who jumped in after Marcus, sinks into the corn and nearly suffocates. Quick corn. But Marcus saves her. Reagan's cochlear implant reacts to the proximity of the creature by emitting a high-frequency sound that repels it. The children escape the silo and find their father. Yeah, so, oh wow, the creature's super sensitive to sound, so if you make a really high sound, it's gonna...
It doesn't like it. It's like nobody thought that the creature with supersonic hearing, that they might be impervious to noise.
Yeah.
Also, we can come to the waterfall where we can talk really loud because it can't hear, it can't distinguish background noise. And it's like, so it seems the solution then wouldn't be to make the world impossibly quiet so that any tiny amount of movement would set off the creature, but rather to make the world impossibly loud. And
so, like, just set up, like, a bunch of wind chimes everywhere.
Yeah, or, like, just constantly have noise, like, blaring.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it just make more sense for all of us to be deaf and to live in an entirely deaf world where the world's really loud so that the creatures can't function? And then we're just deaf and can't hear it?
That's a good point.
Doesn't that make more sense? And maybe we don't even have to go deaf. I'm just thinking, like, eventually, probably the amount of noise would drive us insane. But like, take out the creatures.
Yeah.
Take them out. I mean,
and
like...
it's established that you can, like, shoot them in the head and they die.
Yeah, and how has the government here not thought of this plan?
Yeah,
we
they all died.
Thought of this plan in 10 minutes. I'm just like, the idea of, like... we all have to be really quiet because they hear really good.
Like, make so much noise everywhere then.
Yeah, just make a ton of noise so that you can live your life normal. And you never have to worry about the creatures.
Yeah.
Because they'll never be able to hear you. The idea of, like,
you as long as something's never make... as long as something is louder than you, they can't find you.
Yeah, the idea that it's like, we can't make more noise than the wind rustling through trees. And it's like, well, that's going to be really hard to pull off. But it's not really hard to pull off giant sounds all of the time.
It's true. It's true.
We have so many things in the world that make so... noise pollution is a problem here.
Yeah, this is set in 2018. They could have done it.
Noise pollution is an issue. And we just said...
that doesn't exist.
It seems like we need to go the opposite way. And it's like, it seems like to me, it seems like they're on the verge of figuring out.
Yeah, but they never quite do they?
Because it would be bad for the plot.
Plot, yeah.
Because it wouldn't be scary if it was really loud.
The creature returns, attacking and wounding Lee, while Marcus and Reagan hide in a pickup truck. Marcus shouts, attracting the creature away from his father to the truck. Lee signs to Reagan that he loves her and has always loved her. Before yelling to draw the creature to him. That's a really sad scene. The creature then attacks and kills Lee, the smartest of the bunch. Reagan and Marcus roll the truck down the hill to escape and reunite with Evelyn and the baby at the farmhouse. The four retreat to the basement. When the creature returns, Reagan, who realizes that the sound made by the implant distresses the creature, switches the device back on and places it on a nearby microphone, amplifying the feedback. Painfully disoriented, the creature exposes the flesh beneath its armored head, allowing Evelyn to fatally shoot it with a shotgun. The family views a CCTV monitor showing two creatures attracted by the noise of the shotgun blast approaching the house. With their newly acquired knowledge of the creature's weakness, Evelyn reloads.
It's a shame they didn't figure that out, like, 5 minutes.
Right? I know, Lee's already dead, guys.
He's like, damn, the one guy who really could have, like, engineered this shit to just make you a fortress.
Dead.
He's dead now. Because you couldn't figure that out 5 minutes earlier.
A shame.
I do think this movie is not terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's really suspenseful.
It is really suspenseful. I wish I had seen the first one in theaters, I will say.
It's 10,000 times better than The Conjuring.
Oh my god, 10,000 times better than The Conjuring.
It is.
It's not irresponsible.
I'll call it a medium horror film.
Yeah, me too.
It's not top tier.
It wasn't like, it wasn't scary, but I was still like, ooh.
It's freaky. And yeah. It's suspenseful. It's very suspenseful. Very thrilling.
It's not like Hereditary or Midsommar, though, that's going to, like, actually scare you.
No, not made me want to pee my pants.
No.
But, like, it was suspenseful.
Yeah, it was suspenseful. It was freaky. The acting's really good.
It's a good length.
It is. It's good. I like how short these movies are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of movies, I'm not criticizing you, Ari Aster, because I crave the 3-hour long films that he makes. But some people don't make those 3-hour long movies, right?
A 3-hour movie once in a while isn't so bad.
Yeah.
When you watch two movies a week, Three hours adds a lot of time.
It does. To your week. The fact that these movies are like a tight hour and 30.
It's nice when it's an hour and 30 for us. We always are like, oh, thank God, an hour 30.
All the movies we're doing this week are an hour 30.
I know, thank God.
And it's so nice. It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. So I have some behind-the-scenes facts.
I'd love to know.
So there are real family photos of John Krasinski and Emily Blunt and their children used in the film.
But their children aren't the actors.
Yeah, but they are so far away that you can't tell.
Okay. I would hate to be the actors.
You can't tell.
I would hate to be the actor of the kids, and it's like, oh, mom and dad, oh. No, I don't get to be in. Okay.
I think this is a really interesting detail. In the beginning of the film, in the store, most of the food on the shelves is gone, except for all the bags of chips, because they're too noisy. Mm. That interesting?
Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Too noisy to open, too noisy to eat.
Yep, makes sense.
Again,
not in the world that I would have created.
No, not in the world that we would have created, but that's why we're not in horror
movies. I was in charge of. Just seems like it's a logical step. I get that maybe you don't take it immediate day one.
It's been 2 years, though.
Day one, you don't take that step. Mm-hmm. But year two, you haven't thought of it by this point. Nobody's been, like, racking their brain for how the creatures work. The government hasn't done. See, I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
So the actor who plays Reagan, Millicent Simmons, is deaf in real life. And she said that she really enjoyed seeing how all the different characters learn how to sign and how they sign differently. Krasinski said that it was non-negotiable for Reagan being played by a deaf actress.
Good.
That he was like, she has to be played by a deaf actress, which good. I love.
Me too.
Disabled characters should be played by disabled people.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a lot of disabled actors that just don't get work because they're disabled. So it's like if you're going to write a disabled character, why does it matter if they're actually disabled?
I know. Isn't that better?
Isn't that better? Like, they're just going to be way more accurate. It's going to involve a lot less work for you
and
on the training.
And it's going to be way better for disabled people all over.
Yeah, and it's like, you're giving someone work who deserves the work.
Playing something they're good at.
They're going to be infinitely better at, listen, someone who's actually, like, paralyzed.
Listen, Run is a great example.
Infinitely better at playing paralyzed than someone who's just sitting in a wheelchair.
Run is a great example. That actress was actually played by someone who couldn't walk, and you could tell, and she was just amazing. That upper body strength she had in that movie, that's the Sarah Paulson movie.
Yeah, but she's not entirely paralyzed, because she walks in the end.
Yeah.
I was like, she can walk, the actress, because she does walk in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she does have something. I don't remember what was wrong with her. She has something wrong.
She had an accident.
Yeah.
And she can't stand for long periods of time, and she has to have crutches to walk long distances. So Krasinski explained to The Independent that Millie pointed out that my character is very shut off and just wants to survive, and his signing is very curt. It's very small, it's very immediate and direct, and Emily's character is all about, we can't just survive, there has to be beauty in the world, we have to give a life to our children, so she's very warm, and she's bigger, and she's more affectionate in her signing. The actor who plays Marcus, Noah Jupe, is actually British.
Oh.
Yeah. And George
Noah Jupe, what's he in?
He was in Suburbicon. I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't, but I feel like he's in other stuff, too.
Actually, I think he might be... One second.
I feel like...
Honey Boy.
He's in Honey Boy. I knew we had talked about Noah Jupe before.
Honey Boy, that's it. And George Clooney was the one who recommended Noah to John Krasinski for the role. Because he worked with him in Suburbicon. The bathtub scene was done in only one take.
That's good. I would not want to do that more than once.
As soon as she was done, she asked what was for lunch.
Ha ha!
Relatable.
An actress.
So, what's for lunch?
Now that that's wrap.
Film sound editors created what they called sound envelopes to put the audience in the character's shoes to hear what they hear and how they might hear it. The final look of the creature wasn't fully figured out until pretty late in the process during post-production. And the actors were really surprised when they saw it. Simmons actually made John Krasinski cry on set with a suggestion to change an important part of the script. During the cinematic scene between Lee and his kids in the truck, the original script just had him signing I love you. However, Simmons suggested that he should sign I've always loved you, which made Krasinski cry.
It's a baby.
Little baby.
Sounds
move.
Like a little baby boy. Said that. That's not cute at all. That's one extra word. Sorry. I'm not. I don't. If I had been on that set and that had happened, I would have been like, oh my fucking god, can you wrap this up?
Before making A Quiet Place, Krasinski says that he was not a fan of horror movies.
Shut up.
To prepare, he watched The Babadook, Get Out, and The Witch.
Some movies I have some feelings about he watched to prepare for this. He said, I didn't like horror, so to write a horror movie, I watched three.
And he said he took notes.
Okay.
Okay. Alien was very influential to him, which I could see throughout the entire film.
Make it scary.
But yeah, he said Alien was really influential, which obviously, like, a lot of this movie screams Alien. Noah and Millie binge watched The Office on the way to and from set.
They said, this John Krasinski fellow, he's pretty good.
He's pretty good. After reading the completed script, Blunt told Krasinski he couldn't let anyone but her play the role of Evelyn.
Aww.
And Krasinski...
And he couldn't say no
because they're married.
Because they're married. And he was like, well, all right.
And Krasinski said working with his wife on the film was without a doubt the best collaboration I've ever had in my life.
Aw, have they ever worked on anything else together?
No, I don't think so.
What? They've never been on any... Who's running Hollywood? I'd like to talk to the president of Hollywood about this.
The film was meant to be a metaphor for parenthood.
What?
We had just had our second daughter 3 weeks before I read the script, and so I was living with the terror of hoping to keep her safe, hoping to keep her alive. Was I a good enough person to be her father? All of those themes are in the movie, and so in my rewrite, that's what I drilled down to even more.
Okay, I can see that.
And Stephen King called it an extraordinary piece of work.
Okay, Stephen.
I like Stephen King, but he misses sometimes.
Stephen King, much like John Krasinski here, not great at endings.
Yeah.
That's what I would say is my main problem with this, is it builds so well, and then just kind of, like, ends.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's it?
That's it?
That's what I watched the whole movie for? I do like this movie. I think the thing is, like, the majority of it is good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But the ending is so disappointing, and you're just like, that's it?
That's it.
And then it ends, and you're like...
And then there's the second movie, which we'll talk about next week, but...
Similar problem.
But, like, worse.
Yeah, similar problem amplified.
Yeah.
Which is just this, like, good story building, bad story ending. Which Stephen King also has the problem of, but his story building is just a lot more of the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's a lot longer.
Definitely.
This is like, it's like it goes on and you're like, oh, so scary, how are they going to survive? And then it's just like, oh, they don't.
Also,
I don't like that you could see the alien.
Oh, I never like whenever they show it until the very end.
It's never gonna be as scary as not seeing it. And if you're not gonna show it till the very end anyway, I mean, it's like, what is that movie with Joaquin Phoenix? Signs. Don't they show the aliens at the end?
At the very end.
The very end, it's not scary. It's not.
But it was pretty scary up until then. Because you don't know what they look like.
Yeah, it's freakier. It's like, there's no amount of like CGI is ever gonna go further than what the human mind can conjure up.
Very true.
And it's, like, scarier for them, too, if they can't see it. It's like, you don't know when they're coming, you can't recognize them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a very weak ending.
I agree. What would you give it?
It's good. It's a good suspense. It's like a pretty medium horror film, I would say.
Yeah.
I would give it, like, a 6.
I'd also give it a 6.
It's
fine. It's definitely not the worst horror movie I've ever seen. No. By any means.
And honestly.
And it's definitely not even the worst post-apocalyptic movie I've ever seen.
No. And let me put it this way, like, I don't want to keep shitting on The Conjuring, but that's just the other one that's in theaters.
It's so terrible. And we're going to do it at some point and, like, literally shatter your guys' world with, like, our debunking of it.
I hate The Conjuring, but all the movies like that. Like, all of the movies like that.
Mainstream horror, right?
I know the Conjuring universe is so vast. It's like Annabelle, The Nun, all of that.
It's almost like the Warrens just lied about it.
It's almost like the Warrens are con artists who just want to make money off literally anything they can.
It's almost like that, isn't it?
How come the Warrens are the only people that have ever experienced anything haunted? They've experienced so much that they've been able to make like 27 movies based on their experiences, but no one else in the whole world has been able to do that. And everyone else is on the Travel Channel because they work on ghost adventures.
It's so true. And Ghost Adventures is far more
ethical. Ghost Adventures is more ethical because at least they're showing us.
They're like, this is what we do. And it's like, well, it's not great, but at least you're showing us.
Yeah, it's like, listen, you're obviously reacting and to nothing. And
the Warrens are like, we have so much documentation. You can look online. No documentation. None.
Like, the documentation is like their journals.
Their journals and pictures. And it's like.
That they took.
And it's like, no, I want like readings. I want like science.
I want. Another person that's not you.
I want another person that's not Catholic
to weigh in on this. Oh, you don't have any of those? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway.
Anyone. One person. One person to say that you're not lying. Who's there? Who's not Catholic? There were none.
Well, you can't get it unless you're Catholic. Okay.
See, that seems
a little fishy.
That seems like part of the problem.
I'm going to go into the Enfield poltergeist when we eventually do The Conjuring, but we'll get to it.
I think that all of those horror movies always have very cop-out endings.
Yeah.
Which he, I think that he watched, what, The Babadook?
Yeah.
The Witch. And Get Out.
I like The Witch ending. I like Get Out ending.
I don't like The Witch
ending. I know she doesn't like The Witch. I do.
It's like, geez, I get it. It's The Lighthouse. I get it. It's they're
the exact same. The Lighthouse and The Witch are not the same.
They're the same movie.
No, they're not.
They are. Yes, they are. They're the same concept of a movie, just with different plots. Somehow, like, I hated The Lighthouse. And I went, you know why I hate this? Because it reminds me of The Witch. And he's like, well, they're written by the same person. And I said, of course they are. Of course they are. I don't even have to know that to know that. That's how much they're the same. That's how good I am. It's true. I know there's no way to prove that to the people on the other end here.
Yeah.
But you know it, and I
know it. And that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters.
Well, we're talking about it.
Well, we're talking about it. So, but I can tell he watched those movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because he tried to do, like, the cool, like, ooh ending.
Yeah.
But he didn't make, like, that his movies like very like basic horror with like trying to be a cool like interpretive ending.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the reason those endings, we'll call them, work,
quote unquote work,
for those other films is because that's how the whole movie is.
Yeah.
Like Get Out, for example, is not like a very interpretive movie, and it doesn't have a very interpretive ending. It has a pretty like concrete ending. Yeah. You know what happens. But like The Witch is a very like,
she's a bitch.
It's a very artsy movie.
Art house film.
So it has a very artsy ending.
Yes.
This is not an artsy movie. Don't try to give it like a
ooh artsy film ending, yeah.
Yeah, or and then it just kind of ends up feeling like somewhere between like a cop-out ending, like The Nun had, like every Conjuring movie, right? Like they have the same ending where
I even remember The Nun? Did I even watch The Nun? They all run together to me.
We watched The Nun.
I don't remember it at all.
I remember it because the Nun looks really stupid.
I don't remember
but
it at all.
Here's the thing. All of the endings are the same though, where it's like you think it's solved. The movie ends and it's like, oh, they solved it. It's good.
But then it keeps going. But
the last frame will always be, oh, it's not over. Because we have to make a sequel. Because
we have to make more money.
So that's how this felt to me. It felt like it was like, it's over, but it's not over.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that works with like more franchise films. Like if you're going with like the long franchises like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and those kind of horror franchises. That like part of the fun is that they don't end.
Yeah.
But I don't think this movie is that.
Personally, I'm not a huge fan of franchise horror because I feel like it's such a cop-out.
They're
it's
so
like,
stupid, though. It's,
yeah,
it's, great.
It's like you, yeah, no, I've never seen a franchise horror that's scary all the way through.
Oh, ever. They're stupid, though. Ever. That's like what's fun about them.
I know, but that's, it's like if you, like Friday the 13th, Child's Play, all original movies are very good, pretty scary.
Well, because they're original.
I know.
Yeah.
But then they undercut their own good movie with their shitty franchise that they just make it into a joke.
It's I like, think that Scream does a great job of making that commentary.
Yes. They just make it a parody of itself. Like, you did that to your own art. You made something legitimately good and scary. Like, if Hereditary had a sequel,
that's so true.
There's no way it could be good.
That's very true.
It's like, and I feel like the first, like, they obviously set themselves up some, I mean, I don't think Child's Play sets itself up for a sequel. I don't know how that has a sequel, but the Friday the 13th, like, obviously sets itself up for a sequel. All of those, like, Nightmare on Elm Street sets itself up for a sequel. And so does The Conjuring and The Nun and the Insidious movies, and all of those set themselves up for a sequel. But it's like, geez Louise, like, it's hard to take you seriously because you can't keep something scary for that many movies. It's impossible. It's hard to keep something scary for one movie.
Yeah.
Let alone, like, 27. And I mean, like, watch Friday the 13th and Child's Play and everything else. Those are successful because they turned into comedies.
Yeah, because they turned into satires.
They turned it, they made it a satire.
Yeah.
Which is why it is enjoyable.
Yes.
The Conjuring is not enjoyable.
That's very
because
true.
It is not a, it has not turned into a satire.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be legitimate. And look at stuff like The Ring sequel. Mm-hmm. Not scary.
Not a satire.
And not a satire. Not scary. Blair Witch sequel. Not scary. Mm-hmm. And not a satire. Like, you, it's hard to make... Horror movies are very one-and-done type of things.
Unless you want to go, like,
Friday the 13th style, where you're just going to make fun of yourself doing it. Or, like, Evil Dead style, where it's just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's going to be all about the jump.
Yeah, and like, ooh, look at how crazy this is.
And then someone will reboot you, and it'll be serious, and then you'll...
And it won't be as good.
And then they'll ruin it by having a sequel as well.
Yeah. By it being too serious.
By being too serious.
So you ruined the fun of, like, the satire.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why. That's why I like when good horror movies are just over.
Yeah.
Because that leaves them scary.
You know what's a great horror movie? The Lodge.
That's a great horror movie.
That's a really good one. I was just thinking about that the other day.
That's a good one. And The Ritual...
Ooh, that's a great one, too.
That's a great one. We should do that sometime, talking about...
Men.
Men.
How this movie could never happen if it was women. Women. Well, okay, so actually, there's this movie called The Descent, and...
I think Liam told me we should
do
that.
And it's like The Ritual, but with women, but it doesn't make any sense because it was written by a male director and doesn't understand how female friendships work.
Nice. Nice.
And so I'm like, that's... No woman would ever say that to her friend.
Yeah. No.
Nope.
That's not a friend.
That's not a friend. No.
Yeah, very interesting. I think that horror is a hard genre, harder than some people.
It's easy to get into because the bar is low, but it's hard to do, like, well.
Yeah. Hard to do a good job on horror, but easy to do a bad job, and people will still lap it up.
Apparently. So true. Conjuring. We're going to do that at some point.
All of those movies.
Ugh.
Insidious. And I like the first Insidious.
It's not terrible.
It's creepy.
It is creepy. I told you not to take my picture! That's what he says.
And then it gets bad.
Listen, there are some good jump scares in the first Insidious movie. I remember seeing it in theaters, and I was like, oh,
honestly,
the red guy?
Again, the first Conjuring's not the worst thing that's ever happened.
If I didn't know that the Warrens were full of shit, I would have liked the first Conjuring.
Why aren't the Warrens just writers?
I know! Like, literally, why don't you write horror books?
It's like, you're clearly immensely talented at it.
At making shit up.
Just do that for a living.
No, but we're Catholic. It has to be real.
Because we're Catholic, and we would be morally wrong. Here's why. Because it's morally wrong to engage with horror if you don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe in it, and, like, if you, like, I guess it's, you're giving Satan power.
Well, they're giving it's a church propaganda. Like, all of the Conjuring movies are church propaganda, and you can't really get past that at all.
No. I just think it's, for me, I think the Warrens, it's like, they can't just make horror movies because that would be engaging
that would
with
be
the devil.
Yeah.
But if they make movies that are,
like quote unquote, based on
real exorcisms to try and prove that, like, the Catholic Church
exists
and can really do exorcisms, then that's, like, against the devil. And it's like, be real, you're making demon movies for entertainment.
Yeah.
And then adding in a bit at the end. For your own conscience, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's still all fake, so what's it for?
The Someplace Underneath girls were talking about the new Conjuring movie and about how it's, like, probably the most church propaganda-y one out of the bunch so far.
Mm.
And about how it really just, like, it goes through the satanic panic is what it's about. Ah! Insane. It's insane. So I am kind of anxious to see it because it seems terrible.
Listen, yeah, I don't understand. I don't even understand how Catholics could actually make horror movies.
Yeah.
Don't you think that that's,
I think they make Satanists look pretty cool.
But also, doesn't that, like, if you believe in the devil, and you think, like, the devil is a being that can, like, gain power, legitimate power, in, like, an actual power-based struggle, then you making a horror movie...
Isn't
that, like, giving him power? Like, you're saying his name clearly. You're clearly showing him, like, regardless of if you're showing him in a light that's bad. Or, like, and you're not even really showing him it. You're still using it. It's still obviously entertainment.
Yeah.
There is no way to separate the, like, ooh, jump scary entertainment aspect from it, which is what they 90% are. Because otherwise, what you would be doing is making a documentary about an exorcism.
Yeah. It's really interesting because they use the Baphomet symbol, which is literally, it was like, that wasn't in existence whenever this was happening. That was like based on a drawing. It's like not actually the devil.
They're like,
no, like you could literally do a Google search and they're like, no, Satan, oh.
Yeah, I just was like, just get real.
Just get
like,
real.
Also, The Exorcist feels more respectful to Jesus.
Yeah, even though it's pretty much church propaganda too, I think it's more tasteful.
It feels more like tasteful church propaganda.
It does.
But it also feels like less devil worshipy than the Conjuring movies do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, yeah. It's very weird. It's very weird. I don't get it at all. And also, I think it's interesting in the Exorcist, you know, like, the whole point is, like, the priest is having, like, a lapse in faith, right?
Right.
Like, that's a huge part of the plot.
Yeah.
That's never a part of the plot in The Conjuring.
No, because, I mean, they would have to admit. The person that wrote The Exorcist is not the person saying, this happened to me.
True.
So.
That's funny. This movie's fine. It's fine. But we'll talk about how we feel about the second one.
Could John Krasinski write something different? Maybe.
I don't know.
Is he writing anything else?
I don't know.
He wrote, not that I know of, he hasn't written anything that's not in the Quiet Place franchise.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I guess we'll see. Do you have a review?
Yeah. I dropped my phone on the floor earlier. Oh, no. So let me grab it, because that's where the review is.
I have a spider bite.
You do, and it's rough looking.
It
really swelled you up there.
Yeah, I'm allergic. I think I'm allergic to spiders. This happens a lot.
Yeah, I'm allergic to mosquitoes, because whenever I get a mosquito bite, I mean, everyone's allergic to mosquitoes,
but
when I get a mosquito bite, that's what it looks
like. It looks like this. It's the size of my fist.
Yeah, it's like I'm allergic especially.
Yeah, I think I might be allergic to spiders.
Yeah.
Ooh. Anyway, here's a review.
1 out of 10. I know I may have already stated the obvious, but I just have to say that this is the dumbest movie ever. I know I am repeating the accurate reviews that have stated how stupid this film is. People by characters without an ounce of gray matter. Worst of all, at no time did I care for anyone or find any situation tense, as I was able to foresee every movement the family made right from the start. I knew they would leave the youngest child to walk behind some distance. What kind of parents just trundle off and don't look back and let the youngest casually stroll along?
That's a fair critique.
There are over a dozen ways to kill the aliens, but the family is so thick they cannot think of any. Every department store has huge basements, which would pretty much be soundproofed. Hole up in one of those, place speakers along the streets, blast the aliens with sound, and knock them off by blowing their heads off. Could the military or government not have come up with any strategies? What happened to all the helicopters? I could go on, but it has all been said. And to top it all off, it is slow and boring.
Listen, a lot of those critiques are very valid.
I know. 95% of the critiques that happen are about the fact that they're like, no one came up with a strategy to take these out.
Yeah.
Not one person. They were just like, well, they have thick skin, so I guess we're done for.
It's like, what? It's very weird, and I think there are a couple of plot holes in this movie, as often there are in post-apocalyptic films, because I think it's just, as a construct, it's kind of hard to predict what would happen.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, is feasible.
Listen, I'm just saying that we went through a pandemic this year, and we pretty much saw how people would react to a world-ending scenario.
It's true.
In that they just would refuse just to acknowledge
accept.
It.
If you refuse to accept it, which I think
And is- also, it would actually, I really think the government would be working on it pretty hard, because
as we've seen in COVID-19, they're like, if something's killing rich people, they're pretty desperate to fix it.
Exactly.
Like, they will literally do anything.
I haven't seen Elysium. That's the one where, like, the world is, it's WALL-E.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
but, like, all the rich people live in the sky right above the Earth.
Yeah.
I always felt like, I haven't seen that, but that seems really realistic.
It does seem really realistic.
It does seem really realistic that the rich people would just abandon all of us, yeah. And that the government would just completely leave the poor people to fend for themselves. That I can see.
Yeah.
But it's like, is that what happened here? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Anyway, it's really weird. So yeah, tune in next week to hear us cover the less good Quiet Place 2.
That's right. All right, guys. Bye.